Discord wants your government ID, and it wants it just in time for a rumored IPO, just in time to increase shareholder value by having additional marketable information attached to your chat app profile that you may be using through an EXE that's installed on your Windows desktop computer that is at some level capable of monitoring the processes that are running on said computer. Now, Discord says it wants to launch a teens by default mode for Discord, the chat application. The press release stated, quote, Discord users can choose to use facial age estimation or submit a form of identification to its vendor partners with more options coming in the future, end quote. So good, more options. Maybe they'll add fingerprinting next or rectum scanning. Wait, no, that's retina scanning. Retina. Says retina. Although, I do now have a new idea for a new technology I can sell to the corporate ass kissers. So, the language is pretty clear. You either scan your face or you upload an ID. And if you don't want to do one of those, then get fucked, basically. And that is the way the internet's going in general. Discord is just the newest part of that. And unfortunately, it is one that has come in and displaced forums in a way where it was already troublesome. You can't find information you used to be able to just search the internet for. It's become a mainstay for a lot of people, and now it's come time for Discord to cash in on the power it's collected. It's trying to tie identities to accounts so that it has verified users, which is useful for a lot of things, but in particular acquisitions, selling, and marketable data. And no matter what Discord says they will or won't do with your data today, the minute they sell it to a company like Microsoft, which has been rumored in the past, is when none of that matters anymore, because we all know that companies like Microsoft really wouldn't mind spending a couple million in a settlement now to make several billion in profits later. The good news is that Discord would never publish anything saying that it has identified exposing approximately 70,000 users' information containing government ID photos. Quote, we have identified approximately 70,000 users that may have had government ID photos exposed, which our vendor used to review age-related appeals, end quote. Okay, that's different, especially in light of the recent data breach. This is Discord's most aggressive identity-related play yet. The discourse around Discord hasn't been positive, and it's worse for Discord that they pissed off the gaming community. Quote, rest in piss, Discord. It was good while it lasted, but it's finally time for Discord to die, end quote. And quote, yeah, that'll be a no from me, dog, end quote. There's one more disturbing link in all of this, and it's this guy, Peter Thiel, who's a living embodiment of weird links, including what we think is a strong one to this guy, Jeffrey Epstein, mostly due to financial agreements. Thiel also has deep links within the US government, as we've discussed. As Thiel relates to Discord, it's a four-step process. The age assurance note from Discord on its official announcement states, quote, important, if you're located in the UK, you may be part of an experiment where your information will be processed by an age assurance vendor, Persona. The information you submit will be temporarily stored for up to 7 days, then deleted. For ID document verification, all details are blurred except your photo and date of birth, so only what's truly needed for age verification is used, end quote. Wow, thanks Discord, that is important.
Thanks, Steve.
Discord doesn't define what the experiment is, just that they're doing one. Persona might sound familiar to those who've watched our other videos in this series. The company is an identity verification tool producer that is used not only by Reddit, but which also received $200 million from the Founders Fund and appears to be in use by Discord now. The Founders Fund is a venture capital group that Peter Thiel runs. Peter Thiel is also a co-founder in the global surveillance apparatus Palantir. Wikipedia states, quote, an investment firm co-founded by Thiel accepted $40 million from Epstein, and the pair corresponded for at least 5 years before Epstein's death, end quote. On Persona, Byline Times reports, quote, Persona has faced lawsuits in the U.S. alleging that it retained the biometric data of food delivery drivers and that it used users' selfies to train AI models. This, breaking the quote here, is creepy as fuck. So you upload your information to allegedly validate yourself and then it trains models on your face. Now, to continue this, Byline Times report also reads, quote, these are claims that it, Persona, denies. Its privacy policy promises to delete face scans after 7 days, but vaguely allows data use for service improvement and, since 2025, requires users to waive their right to join class action lawsuits, end quote. So, in just a few short steps, Discord is connected to Epstein-associated and seemingly sugar baby Peter Thiel, the co-founder of PayPal and mentor to Sam Altman of ChatGPT.
Tell me about your just communication lessons that you've learned from Peter Thiel.
He comes up with these like very evocative, very short statements that really stick in your brain. And I don't know how to do that. I don't really know anybody else who does that.
The basic idea was that we could never win an election on getting certain things because we were in such a small minority. But maybe you could actually unilaterally change the world without having to constantly convince people and beg people and plead with people who are never going to agree with you through a technological means. And this is where I think technology is this incredible alternative to politics.
Here's what happened. Before that, this video is brought to you by APNX and the V2 case, which uses a skeletal-like structure and tempered glass for a showcase PC. Although the front, side, and top are tempered glass, the APNX V2 uses a perforated right side panel with fan mounts basically everywhere that's not a motherboard. The rear of the case also features large holes with optional additional fan mounts for a potential exhaust path. The case also has a central spine, with a wrapping cable management cover that gives builds in the case a unique look. APNX's V2 has some modularity as well, such as swappable power supply and storage trays along the backside of the case. Learn more about the APNX V2 at the link in the description below. This comes at a time when more websites and governments than ever are requiring some form of ID just to use the internet, just to visit websites. And it starts with stuff that is harder for people to argue, or maybe it feels more embarrassing to talk about in public, to oppose, to argue, such as adult content, adult websites, as we've seen over the last several years now, and where in the US, depending on the language we're using in a given video, you might need an ID to view our videos in about 25 states. But then it expands from that, from the harder to argue aspect, because people don't want to have the association of arguing on behalf of ID-less adult content websites. It spreads to things like Discord, which obviously has a wide range of uses, but most of them are pretty normal. And this is valuable information to tie to your ID and your online presence. We're attaching IDs to everything bears with it, we think, serious risks of one, exposure, as in just vulnerabilities to different types of attacks, extortion, blackmail, but also future suppression of speech, such as via corporations and or governments. The good news is that you all already knew that. Google Trends search results for Discord and interest in Discord alternatives have surged to all-time highs. Alternatives like Stoat, Mumble, and others have been skyrocketing in interest, likely discovering audiences that never knew they even existed. We think you'd maybe be better off hosting your own solution. That's an idea for a separate video we're working on already. Because this will repeat, there's limitations there. More on that in the future, though. But in short, the situation, it's got some interesting notes that we found when digging through some of the connections. So we're going to go through that today. On February 9th, Discord put out a press release which stated, quote, "New and existing users worldwide will have a teen-appropriate experience by default," end quote. Discord will force user identification in early March, when it'll force users to choose between using facial age estimation software or uploading government-issued ID photos in order to access features such as, quote, age-restricted channels, servers, or commands, and select message requests. Discord's position, as the position ever is with corporations that do things like, for example, propose anti-net neutrality laws, is about protecting the children, which is admirable, if that's true, and if they actually do it. But again, you can put it up there with all of the anti-net neutrality legislation that falls under a title of protecting the children, but actually nests and hides within it all sorts of anti-humanity regulations as well. And of course, at a time when government associates are found all over the Epstein files, but we'll kind of leave that disgusting irony for another time, or maybe for Voidzilla. We think this is more about liability and about the ability to sell Discord in some sort of acquisition in the future or go to an IPO, because increasing the value of each individual account by attaching an ID to it would mean you verify these users are probably not bots, although we'll talk about how easy it is to trick these systems, and it means that you now have even more marketable data that you can package together. And so if you are Discord and you do sell, a company like Microsoft might be able to get a whole lot of value out of attaching that packet of data to this packet of data, and now you know basically everything about that person. That can be used in a lot of ways. To skirt around having to ask users to verify their age, the company also wrote, quote, Discord will implement its age inference model. Oh boy. A new system, they say, that runs in the background to help determine whether an account belongs to an adult, end quote. You don't want to upload an ID because you're worried about a future potential breach or something, and so instead it's running some unknown subroutine or whatever, like some sort of holodeck program in the background to monitor everything that you're doing. I mean, feasibly, that EXE may become an additional spyware vector. In an attempt to get ahead of the criticism, Discord stated that the, quote, video selfies for facial age estimation never leave a user's device, end quote. They also claimed that copies of government-issued IDs submitted to Discord's third-party vendors are, quote, deleted quickly, in most cases, immediately after confirmation, end quote. Not exactly reassuring. Also, deletion basically immediately, one, is not immediate, and two, doesn't do anything about it if there's some sort of intercept where there's an exploit or an attacker that embeds itself in between the two endpoints, which is something that we have seen in attacks in the past. There is a lot of value in this data. There's a lot of motive to get it. If you're prompted to prove that you're an adult and aren't willing to do so, you won't be able to unblur what it thinks are sensitive images. You won't be able to access age-gated spaces, won't be able to access messages from strangers at all, and won't be able to speak on stage and servers. Now, a lot of this does make it sound like, okay, you're not in an 18 plus space, no problem. But again, the problem is the fact that they are collecting identification in this form at all. It's big overreach for a company that can't be trusted. This age-gated measure isn't particularly new. Discord implemented it in the UK on July 21st, 2025, to comply with the country's controversial Online Safety Act, which pushed age verification on its denizens. As you may remember, if you're in the gaming space, this is when people started using Norman Reedus's face from Death Stranding to circumvent the age verification check. Discord has since said they've addressed that particular workaround, and now we're left wondering if Norman Reedus can't be verified as an adult in the UK.
You
In a weird PR move, Discord also said that it aims to protect teenagers by subjecting a so-called council of 10 to 12 of them to their first corporate focus group. Welcome to the real world. Isn't it fun? Discord says it is, quote, giving teens a seat at the table by announcing recruitment for its inaugural teen council, end quote, which it says will bring, quote, authentic teen perspectives into how Discord shapes their experience, end quote.
How do you do, fellow kids?
As for why Discord is doing all this, the UK Online Safety Act was the catalyst, wanting to avoid heavy fines in the UK, which can amount to upwards of 10% of the company's worldwide revenue. Discord complied with the British law beginning July 21st last year. Months later, on December 9th, Discord also expanded its age verification measures in Australia to comply with that country's online safety amendment, which was enacted in late 2025. Discord is now pushing it globally to get ahead of mounting calls to enact regulations more broadly. For instance, countries like France and Spain are moving to ban social media access for those under 16. That may or may not be a good idea. It's worth talking about, but it doesn't really matter for this. What matters is that those types of regulations serve as awfully good cover fire for corporations like Discord to change their policies, to start collecting identification and building profiles on you that will become even more valuable as marketing as we get further into this AI fuckery that exists now, where, again, it's the reference we keep bringing up, but as has been shown in places like More Perfect Union, there's grocery stores that'll price discriminate based on who the store thinks you are when you're standing in front of a shop. Stretch it to things like Discord. All of that data is really valuable. The problem with all this is simple. 2 months after Discord started asking for IDs the first time to comply with the UK Online Safety Act, an unknown entity breached Discord's third-party service that handled those IDs. On October 3rd, 2025, Discord wrote that it had, quote, recently discovered an incident where an unauthorized party compromised one of our third-party vendors, end quote. In terms of the data that was compromised, Discord shared that it included Discord usernames, emails, limited billing information, which could likely include all or part of addresses, IP addresses, which are a major vector, customer service messages, corporate data, and last but not least, what they call, quote, government ID images, end quote. This information is valuable. Having IP addresses and hardware configurations, which are already collected by websites, can be combined, bought, sold, traded, acquired on the internet, whether through bad actors or through just bad actors that are incorporated somewhere legally. And the end result of this is that it is useful not only for advertising to you in potentially adversarial ways, but also for things like blackmail vectors or extortion or really social engineering attempts that may just open up scam opportunities. Now, the good news in all of this is that there isn't any evidence of attempted extortion. Quote, the numbers being shared are incorrect and part of an attempt to extort a payment from Discord, end quote. Okay, little bit of extortion, just a small amount of extortion. But all of this data, no matter how uninteresting of a target you might think you are today, you don't know how interesting you're gonna be tomorrow and for what purpose. Because it may feel like, well, it's just a gaming account. I mean, really, how much on there is useful if I'm talking to people about playing video games and then I play video games and it happens to know what games I play and for how long? It might seem like relatively useless information, or maybe the worst they do is use it to sell stuff to you, which, okay, it's easy to be apathetic towards that. That's what the internet does. But it all comes down to just not making it too easy to continually compile this stuff, because we don't know how it's going to be useful or who's going to want to use it. As we said earlier, Discord previously elaborated, quote, of the accounts impacted globally, we have identified approximately 70,000 users that have had government ID photos exposed, which our vendor used to review age-related appeals, end quote. This conflicts with information from attackers, which included the attackers claiming possession of 2.1 million government ID photos and data from 5.5 million unique users via Zendesk support. Discord previously told Bleeping Computer, quote, first, as stated in our blog post, this was not a breach of Discord, but rather a third-party service we used to support our customer service efforts, end quote. The company divulged that the attack was done to, quote, extort a financial ransom from Discord, end quote. Apparently, a ransom of $5 million, later reduced to $3.5 million per Bleeping Computer, and Discord said, quote, we will not reward those responsible for their illegal actions, end quote. Which is really just a less cool way of saying we don't negotiate with terrorists. So Discord seemingly didn't negotiate, didn't pay out, and we still don't know what that means for your data. Somebody has it if you were in that group. Bleeping Computer at the time said that the attackers, quote, gained access to Discord's Zendesk instance for 58 hours, beginning on September 20th, 2025, end quote, and also that, quote, attackers claimed to have stolen 1.6 terabytes of data, including around 1.5 terabytes of ticket attachments and over 100 gigabytes of ticket transcripts, end quote, apparently spread across 8.4 million tickets, with 580,000 containing payment information per Bleeping Computer. Discord threw a third-party vendor under the bus here, but Discord chose that vendor. It chose what to request, and it chose how to resolve the issue. It's really a Discord problem. But that's last time. Back to today. While trying to soothe the PR nightmare from this most recent global rollout, a Reddit user who claims to be a Discord employee and goes by Discord Zorkian on the Discord app subreddit admitted this, quote, if you do end up in the ID bucket, then yeah, you're right, that has some risk, end quote. You can find that quote in our latest installment of Things the Lawyers Really Wish Weren't in Writing. Andrew Smith, who serves as a cybersecurity expert at Kyocera Document Solutions UK, predicted this could happen back in July of 2025, telling metro.co.uk, quote, whilst many services claim they do not collect or retain data for a minimum period, data is still collected at the point of transfer, end quote. He added, quote, with the increasing prevalence of cybercrime, there is a risk of data breaches occurring, which can severely impact privacy, end quote, again to metro.co.uk. As a reminder to why even intermediary services can be a risk that you might not expect, Notepad++ recently suffered a vulnerability wherein attackers embedded themselves on the shared hosting server, so not even necessarily within the application, within Notepad++, but on the shared host, and then would strategically intercept certain downloads to what they considered to be, I believe Notepad++ called it, high-value targets for downloads for updates that were getting pushed to the application. So it could sit there dormant, lying in wait to target, however they may do that, IP address is certainly an option, and look for things like government infrastructure or anything that may be of value, corporate connections, for example, and then embed the attacks within those sessions for the users. And this is just another example of how this stuff can be used in ways that might not seem like it matters that much today, but something like attaching an IP address to a user account, you don't know how that's gonna be valuable one day. Facial age estimation likewise has problems. It may seem like the lesser of the two evils, but it's an imperfect system, even if it theoretically never leaves your device. One issue is that facial age estimation is a biometric analysis that can be wrong, and its accuracy is based on race, gender, and could be impacted by disability. Better yet, it can be impacted by video games, because video games can beat these services, like Death Stranding. Yeah, feasibly, you could use modern AI solutions to do this too. One YouTuber was able to change her Roblox age verification result by about 3 years by changing her makeup. In an extreme example of, I guess, permanent makeup, the so-named Kin of Ink, who has been referred to as Britain's most tattooed man, says that he could not use facial age estimation as a result of his tattoos. He said that this prohibited his ability to access adult content. Quote, some of the websites are asking for picture verification, like selfies, and it's not recognizing my face, end quote, he told Metro.co.uk. According to the publication, he, quote, feels discriminated against on the basis of his permanent identity, end quote. And, to be fair, pretty identifiable guy. ABC.net.au collected testimony of age verification errors, with one person writing in to say, quote, my 13-year-old son has passed the age verification face scan by hiding his teeth and scrunching up his face. It guessed his age as 30 plus. In real life, he passes for a 10-year-old, end quote. Ars Technica also reported that a teenage girl was able to pass the check simply by using fake eyelashes. Now, community sentiment around this news, Discord PR, this is the part for you, all right? This is your section. The community sentiment is what you would call not good. It's not really like a PR specialist word. It's literally just not good. Over on the privacy subreddit, people are saying they'll leave the platform with users like Cookie Snooper, which is a particularly fitting name, stating, quote, and Discord were saying bye-bye, end quote. Fellow Redditor Ivovis chimed in and added, quote, best we stop using it today, end quote. This was followed up by, I deleted TikTok over this. Discord can follow. Another user added, quote, I barely use Discord. I won't be supplying a face scanner ID, end quote. Over on the PC gaming subreddit, a user pointedly stated, quote, hell, Discord has already had one ID breach. Why the fuck would anyone verify on it after that, end quote. A user over on the Discord app subreddit shared a similar point. Quote, just 4 months ago, Discord announced that their third-party vendor used for age-related appeals had multiple pieces of identifying data breached, including government IDs. We haven't forgotten, end quote. Over on the PC Master Race subreddit, there are calls for people to cancel Discord's premium Nitro subscription service, leading to some level of panic and damage control for Discord because that actually affects their money. People are now already looking at alternative solutions, with users like this one posted on the privacy subreddit asking for options other than Discord, saying, quote, I will not upload my fucking ID anywhere, end quote. Over on the technology subreddit, a user stated, quote, time to go back to TeamSpeak, end quote. Not a bad idea. Maybe we can reintroduce Ventrilo as well. I think I still have an active Ventrilo server with some kind of web hosting company for like $20 a year for probably about 20 years now. I think it's actually more than that. Okay. All right, we're going to move on from that. Just saying, Vent may be still an option. But speaking to The Verge on a story published the same day of the announced rollout, Savannah Battelage, who is Discord's global head of product policy, shared that the company expected blowback and stated, quote, we do expect there will be some sort of hit there, and we are incorporating that into what our planning looks like, end quote, referring to the hit from users not liking this, quote, we'll find other ways to bring users back, end quote. See now that sounds like a statement that will appease investors. And to users, it sounds completely sociopathic.
You'll be back. You remember you belong to me.
It's also just some insane ego for Discord. Discord thinks that it's so great that it can remain alive indefinitely. But as someone, like probably many of you, who has been through the rise and fall of many services for chatting, like AIM, how's that for a throwback? Yahoo Messenger, MSN Messenger, Xfire, Skype is a big one. These things, they come and go. And it's really, they're a dime a dozen at this point, although IRC is still around. It's just a matter of time for Discord.
There's always a bigger fish.
One of the most interesting pathways is to self-host something for those who don't need access to the entire internet of people to connect with. This is less feasible, where you may interact with more sort of random people day by day, like from gaming servers you want to add someone new, but it works great for existing friend groups or companies or groups of people who really can just stay on one platform. And we're considering taking all of our own chat services internal since we refuse to attach identification to company accounts. But as for Discord right now, they're in damage control mode. Following mass criticism after the initial announcement, the next day, February 10th, Discord tried to do damage control. The company took to Twitter and wrote, quote, "For the majority of adult users, we will be able to confirm your age group using information we already have. We use age prediction to determine with high confidence when a user is an adult. This allows many adults to access age-appropriate features without completing an explicit age check," end quote. Really reassuring, Discord, thanks. Instead of, "We need your ID to do this," it's now become, "Eh, we already know anyway." I mean, it's just the idea is really just a formality at this point. The concern with these types of solutions is that you end up in a 23andMe type of situation where even if you absolutely refuse to put your DNA in a poly mailer and send it off to a private corporate lab somewhere to be analyzed and then sucked into a database on the internet, if your estranged aunt and uncle you haven't seen in 20 years decide to do that, then you are also starting to be added to that database. In these DNA situations, you can start to triangulate users. And it's kind of the same for social media, where if your friends on a platform like Discord upload their ID and they comply, maybe they're not as informed on the situation or whatever it may be, now suddenly by being associated with you, the platform can start to figure out who you are, how old you might be, maybe even just literally who you are based on your friends who've uploaded their own identifying information. So now they don't just have a username, the company also has potentially a name. Maybe they can point at something like Facebook and start to build a full profile on that person. There's pathways to crawl back to you. So whether or not you comply, the problem is that anyone who does is putting everyone else at risk because of this ability to triangulate the data and who's who. I think this is something that a lot of people, it's easy to forget that part of it. But this stuff's pretty smart these days, and especially with AI tools where as much as they get memed on, there are a few things that they can be pretty good at, and one of them is connecting links and building these sort of webs. And the same goes for services like Discord, where they can get you one way or the other, and the rest is a formality. The company went on in damage control mode to say, quote, "Facial scans never leave your device. Discord and our vendor partners never receive it. IDs are used to get your age only and then deleted. Discord only receives your age. That's it. Your identity is never associated with your account," end quote. So they're sort of pre-contesting what a lot of our concerns are, which is what we would expect them to do. The post continued, quote, "In a minority of cases when additional confirmation is required, we offer multiple privacy-forward options," that doesn't mean fucking anything, by the way, "through trusted partners," end quote. "And considering Discord puts its trust in a partner that leaked at least 70,000 IDs, if not millions of data points, it has already proven why no one could be trusted with this data." Discord continued, quote, "We will not use your age assurance information to target you with advertisements, and we don't sell your data. You can control how we use your data," end quote. Yeah, gonna press X on that. But let's assume that's true. Let's assume it's written in blood and they'll sacrifice the CEO at an altar. I don't know, maybe it'll be one of Wendell's server cabinets or something, in order to prove that they're not gonna abuse this information. The concern we have as ever is, for example, when a company wants to acquire this other company, where Microsoft previously was rumored to be interested in buying Discord. Microsoft is basically the perfect type of company. They're exactly the right level of evil and incompetent to pull something off where they buy it and they go, "Eh, fuck the agreements, do it anyway, and we'll just pay a couple million bucks later. But you know, what we're gonna make now, that'll be worth it." You know, likewise, even if they don't keep the ID on file and all they've done is make some sort of association in a database that your account is a verified end user of a minimum age or greater, that's still valuable, again, in an acquisition, where now a company like Microsoft can connect this to your maybe offline Windows 11 local account or something and start to really piece together some valuable information, and they do put ads in that. And so whether or not Discord says they're gonna sell the information to advertisers, the point remains that it can be used that way. Following its compliance to the UK Online Safety Act, Discord partnered with, we kid you not, KID to handle age verification. Discord reiterated that it uses KID in a support page that was updated 2 months ago. So we looked into the company. KID provides a platform that helps gaming and tech companies comply with age verification regulations. Big names use KID, including Meta, Hasbro, and Twitch. And looking through KID's privacy policy, it states, quote, if you engage with our services either through an online service or support through Family Connect, we receive your approximate city-level location from your device's IP address, end quote. Except an IP address is a lot more than city-level data. It's weasel wording, where technically they're correct. IP data can get you to city-level geopositioning, geolocation. If you know what you're doing, you get a little further than that. But it is mostly roughly accurate to say that statement. But an IP address is also one of the best methods to tie data packages to each other, and they're not talking about that, and that's for a reason. Regarding age information, the post continues, quote, we receive age information through a variety of sources, including from you directly through third-party age signals, or via our automated tools, end quote. It isn't clear what third-party age signals and automated tools actually means here. Diving deeper into KID, we found that one of the company's so-called chief evangelists, whatever that means, is a woman named Baroness Joanna Shields, who previously served in that position during at least 2020. The American-British woman is a former politician who was Minister for Internet Safety and Security in the UK between 2015 and 2017. Eventually, she was appointed as the Prime Minister's Special Representative on Internet Crime and Harms, where she served in that role until 2018. Shields has also been a proponent for the UK's Online Safety Act, which started all of this. In a blog post published on July 18, 2024, she reflected, quote, there have been recent positive developments in legislation, including the UK Online Safety Act, end quote. On her LinkedIn page, she also recently shared she's proud of the recent partnership between KID and Discord. Just like in the US, there's a lot of crossover between politics and private enterprise. This makes it difficult to know how pure intentions are for these people. Maybe Shields legitimately really cares about the subject and is trying to champion it from both the public and private sector. We don't know. But we just find it weird that former government position-holding people happen to align with new private sector positions. It's especially strange when looking into how much money the age verification industry is generating. But maybe it's just a passion of hers. Genuinely, we're not sure. It does seem strange, though. As it turns out, there's a rapidly growing identity arms race, of which KID is a part. That's worth billions of dollars now. Future Market Insights wrote, quote, the identity verification market is projected to rise from $14.1 billion in 2026 to $42.8 billion by 2036, recording a 13.1% compound annual growth rate, end quote. It's possible this is an industry that's largely, or at least in part, propped up under the guise of protecting children while selling a solution that may line the pockets of those in power. It doesn't help that billionaires in power are ones driving all of this, given the recent news. Discord isn't an island here. While Discord says that it will quickly delete copies of your ID, we're not sure what quickly means. In general, the energy coming from the company right now is gaslighting and ego, where when called out, it says that it's not really going to be that bad. And then when confronted with how bad it is, at least from a user exodus situation, they say, eh, we're going to get you back anyway, we'll have some features. But Discord has shown that it can't be trusted, and Discord forgets that it is just one of a million other chat applications that have all come and gone before it, and it's not special. Discord undermined its credibility to protect user data once already. It should not be trusted here. It shouldn't have been trusted the first time either, but now especially. And pushing users to submit their IDs to third-party sites provides a treasure trove of data for bad actors to prey upon, or bad actors that are legally protected as corporations. It's dangerous and gives up details like addresses, birth dates, the latter of which can be used to potentially get access to sensitive content like medical records. A lot of hospitals, you call them, you give them a name and a birth date, and you'll get a lot of information with just that. It is useful, in the very least, for social engineering as well. And again, one of our concerns is the ability for non-compliant, unconsenting users to be triangulated by the nature of how these tools work, where your friends who surround you create the vector to draw a line straight to you and identify who you are. And this is, again, I think one of the least obvious use cases of this type of technology, where you can get everyone even if they're not a participant. Discord's argument is that it's trying to protect teenagers. But as we mentioned, kids are finding ways to bypass the systems anyway. And likewise, such systems, ironically, I think, prey on them the most. Because the kids who actually have to deal with this stuff, first of all, there's a concern of sort of that generational gap, not by age, by technology, where over time, it just takes one generation that has only ever known this approach to the internet, uploading your ID to use a thing, to suddenly think that everybody else is a tinfoil hat wearing crazy person. Okay, look, this does not help my case right now. But the point is, as we get deeper into this version of the internet, the people coming up now, the children who these companies claim they are trying to protect, are not going to know anything else. And it might be really the only reasonable way, they think, to gain access to something that didn't, or they're just not aware of the risks yet, because it does take a certain level of maturity and of being around the block for a while on the internet to really understand just how truly, absolutely fucked you are the minute you put one piece of information like an ID literally anywhere, because it's game over after that. You cannot put that genie back in the bottle once it's out. The best thing you can do is try to mitigate how many other sites have access to that type of information, but it's better to never upload it at all to anything for these types of services in particular. And we think the kids that they claim they're protecting are exactly the ones who are going to fall prey to this, because they won't know any better when they hit 18 or 16 or whatever the magical date range year is that these companies dictate is okay for you to start using the special feature that you want, or starting to gamble on skins for your account or whatever it may be. But it also just doesn't work anyway. In the Ask Brits subreddit, for instance, people are sharing inventive workarounds, which include pointing people to a service called Use Their ID, which is a site that uses AI-generated mock driving licenses of UK Parliament members as a stand-in for identification. Even if Discord doesn't force ID collections, its age inference model isn't much better and reeks of surveillance. As Discord told The Verge, quote, Discord's age inference model uses account information such as account tenure, device and activity data, and aggregated high-level patterns across Discord communities, end quote. Regardless of whatever Discord says, the reality is that this data is valuable to advertisers and, if they exist in the future, at least in a public capacity, shareholders. For instance, the company can say they know for certain they have X number of verified adults who are assuredly not bots. This also looks good for interested investors. Speaking of which, this worldwide rollout in early March again also coincides with IPO paperwork filings that suggest Discord is looking to go public in March. And what a coincidence that is. That sure would be a useful time to know exactly how many non-bot users you have and how valuable those users are, what their income might be, where specifically they live, so you can start to, in the very least, look at the aggregate demographics of that exact specific location, again, including the income levels of that demographic region, or if you've got their address through an ID, you might as well look up what the house costs too. All of that is valuable, and if Discord starts becoming a problem for people, they should start fleeing the service, and that's happening now. For us at GN, we're considering moving everything to internal services, because I'm not going to start uploading IDs, certainly not employee IDs, for a tool like this. It makes no fucking sense. Like, there's other tools out there, a lot of them. And at this point, we think it's worth looking at alternatives. The concern is, again, that this might kind of just happen to all of them that gain success if they are in a position to gain that success to begin with. If you self-host, not a concern, and you no longer have to worry about migrating your whole life and all your friends to new platforms every time this happens. Problem is, self-hosting, not as easy, obviously. And also, there's a gigantic barrier to entry where now, if you want to connect with someone new, you make a new friend in Counter-Strike or whatever, you got to explain to them how to go download this app and then get them to connect to your server you made or whatever. It's obviously a huge burden and it's cumbersome, but it does work great for specific groups. It'd work well for us. It'd probably work well for people who have fixed friend groups where you don't maybe play with the same D&D group for 20 years or whatever. There's not much reason for them to be bounced around between new apps every time. So anyway, stuff to think about. There's some apps out there like Spacebar, Discourse, Mattermost, Stoat, et cetera. We'll probably talk about those in a separate piece though, but that's it for this one. Thanks for watching. This is part of the AI dystopia coverage series at this point. Unfortunately, you can go to store.gamersnexus.net to support us and that series, or patreon.com/gamersnexus. We'll see you all next time.